This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
The death certificate says gunshot wounds. Plural. Not wound. Wounds. I've seen it. I have it. We've obtained it from the family, and Randy Powell, Charity's father, told us what he saw when he viewed his daughter's body at the morgue. Chest and head. Two separate locations on the body, according to Charity's father. The Sebastian County Sheriff's Office has ruled Charity Bialas' death self-inflicted. The twins, Elena and Maverick, homicide. 3 months of investigation, FBI, Homeland Security, Secret Service, Arkansas State Police, and that's where they landed. Here's the thing, and I'm not going to tell you that I know either way, because I don't. Is it weird? Yeah. Is it impossible? No. Do a lot of the personality traits, a lot of the demonstrated behavior, does it line up to make this an impossibility? Not at all. Could it be something else? Sure. This is a case where you really have to try and take emotion out of it and look at the blocks of what built this thing to get a real clear picture of it. And I understand both sides. I understand both sides looking at this going, okay, that makes sense. Because there are two scenarios. That makes sense. We're going to go through this. I want to get your thoughts in the comments section as we do. Substack and YouTube. The links are in the description. Here's the thing. The evidence supporting that ruling is substantial. Genuinely substantial. But the explanation for how two gunshot wounds in two separate body locations fits that determination, that hasn't been released. The ruling is public. The reasoning behind it isn't. Let's start with what the sheriff's office actually put out there, because this part matters. Randy Bialas drives a Tesla, because everybody's looking at the ex or the husband, because he was still the husband. They weren't officially divorced yet. And everybody's going, oh, and statistically, I get it. I mean, it looks kind of weird. His previous wife died by a gunshot wound. The odds of that happening twice? Low. Impossible? No. Improbable? But again, not impossible. And there are cases, you know, where you hear, like, well, it's an X percentage rate. It's a high percentage. They're just throwing random numbers out here. This has nothing to do with the case. 98% percentage rate. There's still the 2% there if you're talking about something like that. And there's a reason that most things aren't 100%, because there's always the odd ducks out there. This may be an odd duck. This may be an odd duck where it really is not what one would expect. Statistically, it's not what one typically does. But it's an outlier. It could be. Anyway, let's continue on. Randy Bialas, this is the husband who everyone's been looking at and saying, he's not been charged with anything. He maintains his innocence. We're not saying he's done anything at all, but he's part of the story. He drives a Tesla. Tesla tracks location data on their vehicles. According to investigators, that data shows his car was not near Bonanza on the night of December 2nd. His cell phones didn't ping any towers near Charity's location either. Two completely independent systems saying the same thing. He wasn't there. Well, did he hire somebody? I don't know. But there's a lot showing he physically wasn't there. And there's home security, too. Charity had exclusive access to that system. The alarm company's records show the detective, or rather, the alarm company's records show she deactivated it herself using her phone around 10 p.m. And even with the alarm off, the system keeps monitoring entry points. If you have a system like this where it has the window sensors or the door sensors, you know that even if it's not activated, that door opens. In my house, you get a little beep. It's like bleep, bleep. And okay. And if I were to go to my app and look, it would still show me a log of any doors or windows that have been opened, even when not activated, because it's keeping a log of that. It's ticking it as, okay, this is a record of it that it is keeping track of. That showed no doors open, no windows open, nothing. Are there ways around this? Could somebody have been in the house? Yes. There's, again, we're trying to look at this from every perspective, not just taking in what we're hearing and going, okay, I'm going to completely accept that as truth. And I believe that's probably truth. That's what the record shows. Does that mean it's an impossibility that somebody couldn't have gotten to her? No. Not completely impossible. There's ways. When deputies showed up after 9:30 the next morning, the house was locked. They needed a key to get in. Afterward, they tested every door and window, all working properly. And again, this wasn't a rushed investigation. This wasn't a small department in over its head. You got federal agencies involved, multiple local departments, data from a car manufacturer, from an alarm company, from cell carriers, all of it pointing in the same direction. And it's a direction that we've been talking about only on this show since this all went down. This really kind of has been my theory the whole way. I'm not saying I know it for a fact, but this is really what I suspected from the beginning. That doesn't really make a damn bit of difference. The alibi evidence for Randy Bialas isn't circumstantial. It's verified across multiple independent sources. Now, here's where people are going to get uncomfortable. When you pull charities' documented history, court records, police reports, the actual paper trail, the picture gets complicated. And I'm not saying that to drag a dead woman through the mud. I'm saying it because the documents exist and they tell a story that's harder to process than the one that's dominated by a lot of the early coverage out there, or any of the coverage out there that just simply goes, it must be the ex-husband or the husband. I mean, we haven't done that. We've always had a step back on this. And we've been looking at it from this perspective. And you should probably too. I'm not saying you have to accept this is what happened, but just take an objective look and let's be intellectually honest about what is going on here. In August of 2013, 9 months after Charity and Randy divorced the first time, she was arrested for aggravated assault with a firearm. Have you ever been arrested for aggravated assault with a firearm? I ask you that because so many people, when they hear these stories, everybody runs it through their prism of, well, I wouldn't do that. Okay, well, good. Let's look at her track record. Let's see how closely you resemble her and the prism you're running everything through. Have you ever been arrested for aggravated assault with a firearm? I don't think a lot of us have. According to the Times record, she allegedly pointed a gun at his chest. Have you ever pointed a gun at your significant other's chest? Why do I say that? Why do I ask that? Because it shows the propensity and the ability to do that. And I don't think most of us are capable. I don't think most of us, even on the worst of days, would even risk aiming a weapon at someone's chest. Even our worst enemies, because accidents happen. And unless you fully intend to pull that trigger, I wouldn't be pointing that weapon anywhere. I think that's how most of us probably operate. Well, what if it was self-defense? What if she was being abused? Look, I get it. There's caveats to all this shit. And sometimes there's just crazy-making behavior.
And I'm sorry, Charity has a track record of crazy making behavior. Does it mean she did this? I can't say. But it certainly shows she has the modality to. More than just your average duck. And when you have the propensity, the ability to do that, the modality to go down some of the roads that Charity has demonstrated that she has been willing to go down, off the rails, off the hinges routes, it's not completely crazy to me to think that she did this. Because she came pretty close to some horrible Dateline episode-making moments in her life several times. One finally seems to have caught up. And it's horrific. We all want the villain to be somebody other than the mom with the two kids. Unfortunately, there's so many damn cases where it's the mom that's the villain. With the two kids. Wearing a mask for the public so they don't see who she really is. And some people almost make their own masks. Literally, physically. To hide whatever is going on deep down inside that sadness. That emptiness that drives this sort of chaotic behavior. And Charity was one of those people. That arrest there set off a custody battle. But here's the part that doesn't fit the narrative. It wasn't Randy fighting Charity for custody. It was Charity's own father. Randy Powell went to court seeking custody of Charity's son, John. Now, if you're just joining us on this, there's Randall and there's Randy. Two different people. Okay? One is dad, one is the husband. The filings allege John would be in grave danger in her care, that he feared for his own safety. A judge agreed, and custody went to her father. Charity spent years trying to reverse it. These are allegations from court documents. I'm not presenting them as proven facts, but they're in the record, and they came from her own family. In May of 2020, the tire slashing incident took place. You've probably seen the video floating around. Both Charity and Randy took knives to the tires of John's truck. Both were holding one of the infant's twins. While they did it, both got arrested. So Charity and her husband are there. You've seen this. It's insane. They're holding babies with screwdrivers in their hands and literally stabbing the tires of their son's truck to teach a lesson in parenting or some BS like that if you watch the video. It's just, it's unhinged. And both of them are unhinged in the video. They didn't win Parent of the Year awards for that moment. But the charges weren't the same. Charity got hit with criminal mischief and aggravated assault on a family member. Her husband got mischief only. Mischief. She caught the more serious charge. And then there's a 2021 police report. According to that document, Randy Powell told Officer Stephanie Hill of Bonanza Police Department, "This is an allegation that's out there that Randy denies," okay? Just want to make sure that that is clear. The allegation, according to the document, is that her father told Officer Stephanie Hill of the Bonanza Police Department that Charity had confessed to him that she said she was the one who shot Shauna, the ex-wife, the former wife. of the doctor back in 2012, that she was glad detectives never fingerprinted a wine glass she'd been drinking from the scene. That's what the police report said. Okay, so this is, it's, again, it's in dispute from the folks that are in the damn police report. So that's what that is. He's publicly disputed it to me, to local television station KNWA. Said he never said Charity was involved, only that she knew who did it. He said, I'm making the statement attributed to him. She knew who did it? Well, it was apparently an unaliving by Shauna. So wouldn't everybody know who did it? So the report exists and the denial exists. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to tell you which one is accurate because I don't know. I mean, everybody's got their stories. What I can tell you is that both are part of the case now. And this is part of the information you need to take in on it. What changed on December 2nd is critical. The sheriff's office release included something that got buried under everything else. Deposition transcripts and the hearing transcript from that final court date show Charity wanted to reconcile with Randy. That didn't happen. She represented herself at the hearing. Four attorneys over the course of the divorce. And she ended up going it alone. That's interesting. It's a data point. When you're going through that many attorneys. I don't know. It's not a crazy thing to go, okay, is it the attorneys that were the problem or is it the client that's the problem? Because when you're flowing through attorneys, unless it's a monetary thing and you just can't afford them, might be the client. Might be something going on there. When it was all over, the judge ordered joint custody. The twins, whom Charity had exclusively for 9 months, were now supposed to go to dad on December 5th. Three days away, 9 months of sole custody about to end. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not going to tell you what was going through her mind, but I can tell you what the research says about cases where parents harm their children and then themselves. Published studies show firearms are involved in about 73% of those cases. Between 16 and 29% end with the parent also gone. And in maternal cases specifically, the average age of the children is 6 years old. Elena and Maverick were six. So the ruling tracks with the evidence. The history is more complicated than the headline suggested. The profile fits what the research literature describes, but two wounds, chest and head, separate body locations. That's what the death certificate shows. That's what Randy Powell saw at the morgue. Cases involving multiple inflicted gunshot wounds are rare. The research puts it somewhere between 0 and 6%. Rare doesn't mean impossible. There are documented forensic cases involving multiple wounds. The autopsy report would contain the analysis explaining how the pathologist reached their conclusion. The sequencing matters. The trajectory analysis matters. The stippling pattern matters. All of that would explain how a forensic pathologist looked at this and reached the conclusion they reached. All of that would be in the autopsy report. The full autopsy details have not been made public. The ruling is out. The explanation isn't. And then there's the line from the sheriff's office release that keeps nagging. The investigation is continuing, as SCSO is still awaiting search warrant returns on electronic forensic searches on electronic devices. If the manner of death has been determined, what's the continuing investigation about? Maybe it's nothing. Routine wrap-up, dotting I's, crossing T's before they officially close the file. Maybe there's something in the electronic evidence that needs further analysis. Maybe it's standard language that gets copy-pasted and never released. They haven't clarified. And until they do, the question just sits there. There are other threads that haven't been tied off. A woman came forward saying she found Charity's belongings in a dumpster in a Fort Smith apartment complex days after the death. A necklace with the kids' names, family photos, the sheriff's office. Hasn't confirmed it, hasn't denied it. The dumpster was tied to her husband and an apartment complex at which he at one time resided. We've talked about that too. What does it mean? And I've said this before. If your wife, your estranged wife, is running around the state of Arkansas the year leading up to her death, telling everybody that if she dies, if something happens to her, and she did it publicly everywhere, she's calling senators, she's posting on local news Facebook pages, directly stating she's the victim of abuse, making these claims. And if something happens to her, it's him that did it. And then she dies? And you didn't have anything to do with it? Yeah. I'd be a little angry too. I mean, it tracks. It tracks over there too. It tracks if someone is out there slandering your name and saying these things about you. And I don't know what all the dynamics were between the two of them. From what we can assess here, it doesn't look like the healthiest of relationships. But someone's out there saying that if they die, you did it. Foretelling their own death. And then they die and you didn't do it? Yeah, if I had some of her stuff, I might be throwing it out too. Although it is weird because there's stuff with the kids' names on it. Family, I mean, there's things where it's like, okay, you can hate your ex-wife. I don't know if he did or not. This is my conjecture. But those are your kids. But who knows? I mean, you'd be maybe going through so much grief. God knows what's been said to those children about him. I mean, it's just a cornucopia of madness. Evidence from Shauna's death investigation. This is the doctor, her husband, previous wife. Her death, 2012, was also a gunshot wound, ruled an unaliving by her own hand. The evidence for that happened in 2012. The evidence was destroyed by November of 2014. Court-ordered destruction, according to records obtained by independent researchers. The case got reopened in 2021 after Randy Powell's statement to Officer Hill. Then closed again. Reason? Limited evidence. Hard to have evidence when it doesn't exist anymore. The doctor still has his medical license, no board orders on file. He's currently appealing the child maltreatment finding that Arkansas State Police substantiated against him in July of 25. And Senator Terry Rice, Republican state senator, confirmed to multiple outlets that Charity came to him earlier that year. She told him she feared for her life, feared for her children's lives. He connected her with Arkansas State Police resources. The system hurt her. The system also reached the conclusion it reached. Look, people can lie. Is that what happened here? I don't know. But I'm not going to rule it out as a possibility either. Just because. Because that would be a better story. Because that would make this feel less horrible. It's hard to sit with. A woman who told a state senator she was afraid, who posted publicly that the system was failing her, who spent 9 months fighting to keep her children, and the official determination is that she's responsible for what happened to all three of them. Both things can be true. Someone can be a victim of documented abuse and still be capable of inflicting harm. Trauma doesn't equal safety. Fear doesn't equal incapacity. People are complicated. Situations are complicated. The documented evidence can point towards a conclusion that still feels impossible to accept. That's where this case sits. But here's what doesn't require complexity. What doesn't require parsing court documents or forensic statistics or conflicting statements. Elena and Maverick Viales, 6 years old. They didn't file for divorce. They didn't testify in custody hearings. They didn't post on Facebook about the system failing them. They didn't plead guilty to battery charges or point guns at anyone or slash anybody's tires. They were kids caught in something they had no part in creating. No say in how it escalated. No ability to escape what was coming. Whatever the ruling says, whatever the evidence shows, they're the ones who deserve protection from all of it, from both sides, from the whole damn thing, and they didn't get it. The Sebastian County Sheriff's Office says the investigation is continuing. The full autopsy report with the trajectory analysis, the wound sequencing, the forensic details that would explain how two wounds in two separate locations fit their determination, that's not public. The ruling answers the legal question, manner of death determined. The forensic explanation, that would make more sense to the rest of us. We're still waiting for that. Maybe those details come out. Maybe the continuing investigation wraps up and they release more. Maybe the family decides to share more. I don't know. Or maybe this is where it sits. A ruling backed by substantial alibi evidence, questions that don't have public answers yet, and 2 6-year-olds who deserve so much better than any of this. Your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube or our Substack. The links are in the description. I'd love to get your thoughts. This is such a confusing case. And again, I don't know. I don't know. You don't either. I'd love to hear your thoughts, though. Weigh in. We'll continue the conversation there. Be sure to press subscribe as well. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now. And don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.